Ezra chapter 3. Open your Bibles there. Ezra chapter 3. It is so good to be here in our reduced state, but I think the zeal is still 100%. It is good to see you. Someone said, we see you every week through the live stream, and I appreciate that, but I don't see you every week. And it's good for us to be together with one another in the capacity that we can. It's a little more emotional than I thought I would be, but I am thankful that God has given us this opportunity, and I'm glad that all of you are safe. We have seen within our congregation some people, and the virus seems so distant in some ways, but some of our own members have had loved ones who have been affected by that, and that makes it a little more real for us. So I hope all of you are being careful right now. Well, let's be encouraged by the Word of God this morning. Ezra chapter 3 tells of when the Israelites came back to the land from the Babylonian captivity. The Persians released them, and so there were several waves. When they came back to the land of Israel, they found a land that was broken. The city was destroyed. And the temple, which was the center of their religious life, it was destroyed. So one of the things that they sought to do, and the Persians gave them the funds to do this, was to rebuild the temple. So in Ezra chapter 3, we find this scene where they are laying the foundation of the temple, beginning in verse 8. Now in the second year after their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, made a beginning, together with the rest of their kinsmen, the priests and the Levites and all who had come to Jerusalem from the captivity. They appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to supervise the work of the house of the Lord. And Jeshua with his sons and his brothers, and Kadmiel and his sons, the sons of Judah, together supervised the work of the house of God, along with the sons of Henadad and the Levites, their sons and brothers. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments came forward with trumpets, the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord according to the direction of King David of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. For he is good, they sang, for his steadfast love endures forever toward Israel. For all the people shouted with a great shout, and when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. So this was an exciting time for them. The centerpiece of their life, worshiping God, and the place in which they worshiped God, the foundation was being laid. And that would reestablish that whole system of worship to them. And this was a great day. So a lot of people were excited about this. You know, if they had social media in that day, they would have been liking and loving, and all the signs would have been popping up. But interestingly enough, verse 12 tells us something different. Verse 12 tells us, but many of the priests and the Levites and the heads of the fathers' houses, old men who had seen the first house, wept with a loud voice when they saw the foundation of this house being laid, though many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not distinguish the sound of the joyful shouts from the sound of the people's weeping, for the people shouted with a great shout, and the sound was heard far away. Some people were weeping at this moment. There's a moment where a lot of people were excited, some people were weeping. If you'll open your Bibles over to the book of Haggai, one of the minor prophets, Haggai chapter 2, and go ahead and keep your Bibles open there, because we'll draw some points from this in just a moment. We see that the cries were not cries of joy, but they were people weeping. Beginning in verse 3, who is left among you who saw the house in its former glory? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, among the covenant, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former glory, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. There he says, rubble, don't be discouraged right now. And then if you move over to the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 10, God speaks of those who declared this a day of small things. So I want you to understand that while this temple foundation was being laid, there were people who were thinking, we're missing something. Implied is perhaps that the size of the new temple was not as large as the old one. Maybe they knew that the materials would not be as opulent. But they felt like something was missing. So some were excited, but some looked at this day as a day of small things, and they weren't excited about it. They were excited in some ways, but they kept looking back at the way things were, and they lost some of their joy. I think one of the things that we feel right now is a very mixed emotion. We have been, in a small way, in 3 months of exile, at least from one another. And it's exciting for us to come back together with one another. I'm excited. I think you guys are too. But when you walk in the building, we are reminded with these masks, things weren't quite like this several months ago. And when you look around and you see that the people you're used to sitting next to are not here this morning, it's a little discouraging, right? And when we start singing in just a few minutes, and we can't sing loud, and we're not going to sing as many songs and fewer verses, we're going to be excited for a little while, but we're going to walk away maybe this morning thinking, boy, a few months ago it was better. And we might start looking at this as a day of small things. But what you saw at the end of Haggai chapter 2 was God telling the people, don't be discouraged by this. Great things are going to come from the building of this temple. This was the temple later remodeled that the Messiah would be presented in. And in Hebrews chapter 12, the Hebrew writer speaks of the heavenly assembly, and he points back in verse 26 to this very text, that there will be a day when there will be a grand assembly, and God was starting something right there. His physical presence was not seen as it was when the first temple was dedicated, but God said, I am here with you. And in their day of small things, God wanted them to embrace it as really a day of great things. And I want to encourage you this morning, as we come together and it seems like it is a day of small things, I want you to embrace this day, because this is turning into, I pray, a day of great things. I want to encourage you with three things. Yes, 15-minute sermon, still 3 points. It's found right here in the text. First of all, Haggai chapter 2, be strong. This is the admonition that God gives to Zerubbabel. Be strong. He says, do not fear. I don't think when we look at the context that the issue was the people were afraid. Now, they were to some degree. There were adversaries. But I think the primary sense in which God is telling them to be strong is don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged right now. To Zerubbabel, especially as you look at Zechariah, God's going to say, Zerubbabel, you're going to do this. There were so many people who were discouraging them. Don't be discouraged. We need that lesson. It is so easy for us to be discouraged right now, right? So easy. It is so easy for us to be discouraged by the virus. It is so easy for us to be discouraged with the economic news, by the news in general. It is so easy for us to be discouraged by our brethren sometime on social media. I've been discouraged by brethren. I've been discouraged by preachers. I probably discourage people. We are discouraged because we come together and all our brethren aren't here. We're discouraged with the singing. I know you're discouraged with short sermons. I know that bothers you a lot. It bothers me. It's so hard doing this. Okay. And I haven't finished yet, so don't get your hopes up. No, we're going to hit this. It is discouraging when you just go about and you go into the grocery store and you can't see people's smiling faces. It's discouraging when you can't shake someone's hand, especially your brethren. When you can't hug them. And I have on good authority that there are two guys over here who don't like hugging, but they would take a hug right now if it could be done. It is discouraging right now. But what we need to understand is we have started something today that will bring us back together. Be strong. Why? God is with us. God said to Haggai to give to Zerubbabel, I am in your midst. They did not see the presence of God coming down, but just as surely as that had happened, God was there with them. We don't have the Spirit of God filling the house like a great cloud, as in 1 Kings chapter 8. But the Spirit of God is with us.
The psalmist said in Psalm 100, I will sing before your presence. When we worship God, God's presence is here, whether there are a lot of people here or not. So be strong right now. Understand that we can do whatever God wants us to do, whatever God wants us to accomplish. Paul reminds us we can do it. And you can do it right now. And this congregation will move forward because God has great plans. And we're part of those plans right now. I don't know what the immediate future holds for this congregation. I don't know how long we'll keep doing this. I would love to think by the end of the year we can come back together with one another. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But whether we all assemble together with one another or not, we can turn our hearts to God and know that we are serving Him. And know that He is here with us at this moment. Number one, be strong. Number two, Haggai tells Zerubbabel, work. All right? Work. Notice verse 4. Now be strong, O Zerubbabel. Work, for I am with you. God gives the strength to accomplish things. But we've got to put forth the effort. Okay? This is not a time for us to slack off and stop working and serving in the kingdom of God. We've got to abide by His covenant. So we come here to encourage one another. We've got a smaller group here than usual. You can still encourage one another. I'm encouraged by you being here. And I suspect all of us in some way. We've been encouraged by being here. That's one of the main things we do when we come together. We encourage, we exhort one another. And that's what we can continue to do, though we may not have a room full of people. You can obey God every day. You don't need this building to obey God. I think one of the things that has dawned on me more during this whole period is that in some ways we have made this building a centerpiece in our life in a way that maybe it should not be. I'm not in any way diminishing our time together with one another. Our time together is commanded by God. It's important. But a mindset has developed among some that this is where we worship God and we don't worship God anywhere else. And it's dawning on me more and more, we have to change that mindset. We have to understand we worship God every day, everywhere we go. Because once I start thinking that this is the realm of my worship in this building, that's the only place I do things. And that's the only place I think about doing things. So sometimes people say, well, I want to be a part of a smaller church because there's more to do. I'm sorry. If you're only thinking about the worship service, maybe there's more to do there. But when you're part of a larger church, there's more to do every day. So you need to be busy. And so many of you, I've been so encouraged to see the cards that you've been sending out, the phone calls that you've been making. So many have taken on this task. I'm going to work. I'm going to be busy, regardless of whether there's a virus or not. So don't be discouraged and don't stop working. So many videos. I love the videos that have been made. I love the videos of the younger people, the kids, the older people. I love that someone said, hey, I've got an idea. And it's unconventional, something we wouldn't have thought of a couple of months ago. But someone said, what can I do right now? And so someone calls, they send a card. Work, be busy in the kingdom of God. Don't slow down at this moment. Be strong. Despite our shorter worship assemblies, despite the fewer songs, get out there and work. And one more thing. We'll close our time together with one another. Jump back to the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter 3. Verse 11. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever toward Israel. Open your Bibles to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. This is a quote from that psalm. Psalm 136 is a psalm of praise to God. We are here today and we can praise God. You need to focus your life on being strong right now. You need to make sure that you're out there working every day. And let's make sure that though we're singing fewer verses, we're praising God. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His steadfast love endures forever. To Him who by understanding made the heavens, for His steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule by the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, for his steadfast love endures forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his steadfast love endures forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his steadfast love endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, for his steadfast love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his steadfast love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his steadfast love endures forever. And gave their land as a heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever. And rescued us from our foes, for a steadfast love endures forever. He who gives food to all flesh, for a steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, for a steadfast love endures forever. You get the point of that text? His steadfast love endures forever. And so we're fewer today. We can't sing as loud, but we praise God, because he's brought us through this, and he'll continue to bring us through this. And his steadfast love endures forever. So maybe as we leave this morning, you might be tempted to think, this is a day of small things. But I hope you'll think about this text and remember, this is a day of great things. Be strong, work, and praise God. I hope you're encouraged by these words this morning from the Word of God. We're going to sing a song now with one another. If there's anyone who wants to become a Christian, then come forward at this time. We'll take care of this in due order. If anyone needs prayers right now, we'd love to do what we can for you. Let's rise together and sing with one another.